Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's the post bronze medal game for the Opals, and we are very excited to talk about that. And there's a fair bit going on in the NBL as well. Hello, Bottom, my friend. What a week!
Yes, it's been a pretty good week. It was, I think, the Opals, given that they won the bronze and they actually did beat the team that won silver, can walk away from that tournament with their heads held fairly high. The fact that Alana Smith made the All-Star 5 was terrific. You know, it was predictable because she had played a great
second
tournament.
Izzy made the second All-NBL, All-World second team or whatever it is. So, yeah.
And we had Jade Melbourne named as the rising star of the tournament.
Wasn't that amazing?
The future. Mate, yeah, the future.
Well, let's stay with the women's game. Obviously, we won 85-81. They didn't count that three on the buzzer. I thought they were going to count it.
No, they did. They did. No, we were 85-78. They did count it. That girl did not know about the unwritten law. Excuse me. She didn't know about the unwritten law where you got to dribble it out. She still took the three and made it and they counted it.
Good. And so they bloody should. I hate that unwritten rule. Let it go. Well, let's talk about the game first and then we'll talk about the tournament. Is there anyone else to speak of than Ezzy? 12 of 17. She had 13 rebounds, 30 points. Unbelievable game. I think you'd agree with me on this, not one of her greatest tournaments, and I think she'd agree with that, but when the bright light shined, the superstar came out, she was amazing. We sat here, 6-8 weeks ago, and we said, she's got to be the one, right? Yeah. Now, ironically, it was probably Alana that was unbelievable, but the fact that Ezzy came on that stage and did what she did, oh, man, she was good, Noddy.
Yes, she was excellent. That was, and she was really aggressive, but controlled aggression and poised. And, you know, like, well, that's the biggest game by an Australian at an Olympics since I don't know when. But it's also matched our last 30-point performance, which was Lauren Jackson in the bronze medal game at the World Cup 2 years ago. Yep. So really that is a beautiful passing of the baton, for want of a better way of putting it. And, yeah, that was the Ezzy that we all know she can be.
Yep.
Now it's about doing it consistently.
Drop. So let me stay with this. Let's go to Alana because she's been outstanding. 13 points, 12 rebounds, just a constant every single game. What a player, man. I mean, look, I know I keep saying it. I was roommates with Darren Smith and a good mate, and I know of her, and I know she's a good player. She exceeded what I thought she could do at this Olympics.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that both Ezzy and Alana came into the Opals program roughly about the same time.
Yeah.
And I think they were both equals. At that time, you looked at him and you thought, wow, we've got a good future. And then Ezzy has continued to sort of hold down that spot, whereas Alana's been out of favour. I mean, she didn't even make the World Cup team. So she and there have been tournaments where I think she's been used very, very poorly that would contribute to dropping your confidence. And so a bit like we saw with Duop Reith a couple of times and some other players across the tournament, when they get on, they're desperate to do well because they haven't been getting a shot. So this time, I think because she was elevated to starter, she kind of knew, okay, I'm.
Well, she was handed the keys. She was not. I don't want to say run the team because Sammy's there and Ezzy's there, but she was like, we need you. We're with you. Yes.
And being given that confidence at last, she was able to thrive. And did she want?
You know, there's times when I just felt during every game that sometimes we looked a little bit stagnant on offense. And the ball moved around, and the one constant for me, I mean, I thought, you know, Alana was great, Sammy Whitcomb. She was not shy to take the shot. She took some poor threes, but she had to because the clock was running out.
But hang on, Brad. You just said that there were times when the offense broke down. I can see Sammy Whitcomb dribbling on the spot.
Yes.
Watching the shot clock go down before we get to the last 8 seconds. So she was as partly responsible for it too.
Well, I mean, I guess so. I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is she wasn't then all through it to someone and you better make a play, you know, and throw up. I thought she took some big threes and dropped some big baskets. I thought she had a good tournament.
I thought she did too. And I thought if Alana didn't make the All-Star 5, if they wanted someone from Australia, it would have been Sammy.
Okay, yeah.
But honestly, there were times our offense just was so stagnant, and it's just this dribble
handoff. And you're putting that to Sammy? You're putting that
No, that's to the whole group and to the strategy, to be honest. No, no. Yes. I'm just saying, when you say that sometimes the offense didn't look like it was any movement, well, I'm seeing Sammy at the top of the key.
Dribbling the ball
extended,
out.
Dribbling the ball.
But if
and
there's
waiting,
not enough action going on and everything of that nature, that can be the cause. But you are saying that. I get it. Let's move on. I want to talk about every player because I really, you know, like it, they deserve that. They're bronze medalist. Tess Madgen, great tournament. You know, you I remember the one thing you said is she has to be there. She's great. She's good. But can she back up game after game? I didn't see any of that she couldn't.
Well, she had that outstanding 18-point game against France, which was extraordinary. Against the USA, we all sucked pretty much. And then again, she comes out and she was not offensive minded at all for three quarters. And then in that last quarter, she hits two big threes. And down the stretch, she hits four free throws that clinch the game. Yep. And that's where you go, okay, that's a leader. And hats off. If that's her last Olympics or is her last time with the Opals, as I think it will be for her and probably Sammy Whitcomb and Lauren Jackson and Kayla George.
Sammy as well, you think? I just
she's fitting for mate.
But she's playing well.
Yeah, that's a good time to go. That's what Rachel Sporn once told me. After she retired, people were chasing her in the season afterwards because the Lightning weren't going very well. And we had a little conversation. She said, the time to retire is when people still think you're capable of playing.
And that's interesting because Cliff Martin and I speak about him quite a lot. When I retired, I had a two-year contract sitting on the table with the Kings and I didn't take it, right? And he told me, you're a long time retired.
Yes.
Right. So that's where like, you know, like that's the other side of it where just keep going until you've had enough, you know, that type of thing. So interesting.
Yeah, now, your two-year contract, that was as what, a caterer?
No. Manager and ankle strapper. And by the way, I resemble that remark. Okay. I'm going to go down the list now. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to start with the greatest. Five Olympics, five medals.
Five medals.
Didn't play a lot this tournament. Let's not go there, right or wrong. That's not it. Yeah, tell me an athlete that's been to five Olympics and won five medals. I can't find one.
No, there isn't.
That is ridiculous. And not only that, she's the GOAT of it too. So she was at every part of that. And in between those five Olympics, she sat out too.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I would love to have seen her in the bronze medal game because I think Emma Messerman, who plays for Belgium, is the modern day Lauren. And if you look at her record, her history, it's very, very similar. She's definitely Belgium's GOAT. There's no question about that. And I just would have loved to have seen them go head to head for a few minutes. Mm. You know, like the GOAT of the past, the GOAT of the current. We're talking about outside the USA in terms of Messerman because there's great players in the USA.
I don't want to
diminish the fact that they won the tournament because I honestly feel, I don't know, Brad, see what you think, but I thought they were up for our game, the semi-final against Australia. I think they were really up for that. They wanted to flog us, and they did.
And then they looked each other.
Yeah, and then they looked around and thought, okay, now we've got France. Oh, yeah, it's the host nation. But Australia beat them, so we should be able to handle them.
Completely.
And I reckon they got a real kick in the guts when France came out and refused to go away the whole match. They just stayed
on Lauren, the sign that I saw is at the end of that game, every American woman, when the Opals played, the US, every one of them went up and gave her a big hug. Mm. And I'm watching that hug and I'm reading, thank you for what you've done for our sport.
Yeah,
I'm reading that.
Jewel Lloyd said as much, Simone Inescu said as much, said that she's changed WNBA for the better for all of us. And they were just thrilled to be in her presence, which is amazing given they've got Diana Taurasi on their own
team. Brilliant. All right, Jade Melbourne. Now, I guess both of us were a little bit critical, I don't want to use that word. Both of us were a bit like, might be too early, you know, a little bit young and everything. But I'll tell you what, after that one or two games that she didn't really perform to what we know she can, geez, I mean, she didn't even score in the bronze final that. But seven assists.
Yeah.
She did what,
I thought Sandy Brondello, the coach, played her a bit better and a bit smarter, because she is a little bit erratic. She's got that fearlessness of youth that sometimes ends up with a bad result, sometimes ends up with an extraordinary result. So she wasn't out there in the crunch moments of the bronze medal game, which I think at that time, at this time in her career, was right. But she will be playing a lot of crunch.
She just played just under 27 minutes, though.
But just in that moment, you really want your steadiness of Tess Madgen and Sammy Whitcomb. You know, you want that particular group at that time. But again, she won the rising star of the tournament. I think we're in pretty good shape going forward.
So you know Jade Melbourne's going to be there for a while. If Sammy Whitcomb moves on, and let's do it, I'm now going to bring up the next one, Christy Wallace. Not one of the greatest tournaments for her, quite turnover prone. I did feel sorry for her where she was chucked in a game and got absolutely
hammered,
smashed, and you know, had two or three turnovers that were absolute fouls every day of the week.
Every time.
Right? So I sort of feel, where does she go with this now? Like, what do you think happens?
She's
there?
Not a youngster. She's not a kid. She's had to deal with a number of ACLs and a number of years lost in her career. So I think she's very much at the crossroads, and the next decision she makes after WNBA about where she's going to play is going to be very important in her longer term future, because we've got Georgia Amor coming. You know, and we've got other kids around like Steph Reed and Shiley Hill, and there's a bunch of them that sort of knocking on the door, shall we say. Mm. So I think we're going to see a changing of the guard for sure.
All right, Steph Talbot. Now, I'm just having a look here. Just under six points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game. So she, you know, she crashed a glass to help out from that side of you. Just under 5 assists. Now, when you look at those stats, you say that's a fairly decent tournament when you look at it that way.
You're looking at the turnovers?
Yeah, that's what's been the biggest one, 3 a game. Right.
Here's my take. She did her ACL. She came back after late in this WNBL season for the Lightning.
Yeah.
Played a few games, you know, really didn't have to get it tested. Has gone to the WNBA, is on the late, I'm not going to say the Lakers, but the LA Sparks. She's in the,
Sparks,
on the bench.
Yeah.
She's not. Hasn't been playing huge amounts of basketball. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't see the same degree of self-assuredness and confidence in her and in her body that she had at the World Cup, where she was All-Star 5. So I think there were times that she second-guessed herself, and instead of taking a shot or making a power move, she looked for something else and turned the ball over. So I cut her some slack, because some of the defensive work she did was phenomenal. She blocked that huge shot at 81-78. The three-point shot.
How good
from
was that?
Delari.
That is one of the best techniques of blocking a shot, and here's why. So youngsters listening, brilliant. She went with her inside hand to the outside shoulder, right? So what that does is there is no way you can physically foul the shooter.
Yep.
Right. So she's going, and to block that, the athleticism, the you know, she was in the split line, the ball moved across, she then came across, and to be there on the catch to be able to block that, man, that was a hell of a play.
I've got two things to say to that. She obviously had very good junior coaching. And secondly, there are no youngsters listening.
Right. Okay. So to all the old guys listening and ladies, always the outside to the outside shoulder. And then for basketball, do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah. So I cut Steph's slack. She's going to be around. Don't worry about Steph. She'll be coming back to full confidence, and then we'll see the real Steph Talbot at both ends of the floor. I think we saw it at one.
And just so I know, who did coach her? That was your wife, wasn't it? I'm assuming.
No, it wasn't really. I don't know. She's had a lot of good junior coaches.
Okay. Tolo. I loved where every time, you know, Sandy Brondello whistling in her mouth, Tolo. It's so crazy.
I think Marianne Tolo is one of the underappreciated players that we have. I think she's consistently consistently just given us the same level of performance, and that's a good level of performance. You can be confident when you see her come on the floor.
Never let you down. Bangs, pounds, dives on the floor, gives absolutely everything. She reminds me of someone that will need two knee replacements, two hip replacements, shoulder surgery, because she's going to have nothing left in her tank. And that's in a perfect way, because she just throws herself around the court. So really,
always
really good. Kayla George hit some big shots. Look, didn't really play much, just under 10 minutes. You know, hit a basket. I think if you look at her tournament, it was those couples that she got us through the prelim rounds some really good shooting. Overall, great tournament.
Yeah, I think the book on her was pretty obvious. Every team, they just drove on her all the time.
Yeah.
People just drove on her all the time. So I guess they expose her lack of lateral quickness. But her ability to hit a big shot for us at key times has always been a strength of hers.
Yes.
And that was there. That was there to the fore.
Very touching moments afterwards where she was crying and just couldn't speak and everything with, you know, what it meant to her. And yeah. But, I mean, everyone was like that, but I thought that was really good. Amy Atwell, look, a late replacement, obviously, for Beck Allen, one of our favourites. You know, just only played in four of the games, just under 7 minutes, hit a couple of shots. I think what an experience for her, and that's what that was all about.
Yeah, look, I'm happy for Amy, but defensively, boy, did she suck. And she was working her tail off, like not like she wasn't trying defensively, but she got exposed and exploited. Her offensive game is fabulous, but she needs to work at the other end of the floor, I'm afraid. So, and I think she might have been a little bit lucky to get the call up when Beck Allen went out. I think Alice Kunick probably had a fair case for selection there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. But they were probably the two that came out of the China series looking really good. Right. And they obviously two different players too. So they obviously wanted that, not that. So
can I also say, just while we're talking about Beck Allen, I think she was a huge loss to that team. And I think she's going to be a huge loss to the game, because what I'm hearing is that she's retiring from basketball to move on with her life. And I think she's got another two or three great years left in
her. Totally.
But I think the realization that as soon as she got hurt, she was just basically the forgotten person. I think that hurt her a lot. And I think it's a very sad thing for basketball that we may have lost her permanently.
Well, she's absolutely a huge favourite of ours, as we know. We've had her on the show before and absolutely love her. Yep. And I think, you know, I'm hoping she's not lost to the game. There is some talk. I think she'll be absolutely fantastic in a commentary position. I'm going to go there. And I think, you know, I hope, well, she will have to be involved in the game because she's too good not to be. So so I agree with you, an absolute favourite. I know that when we had her on after the Worlds, I think it was, I said, you're my favourite player, and I still stand by that. I absolutely love her. I think she's brilliant. So hopefully we do. Look, we've mentioned everyone, bar one more to go, and Izzy Belays. I thought a tough tournament to come in and out of. Yeah. There were signs that she will be fine. You know, that's what will go. Look,
there were hard lessons learned in a short amount of time in the early goes. Like, this is another level, one-handed pass, travel, missed shot. You can't, it's every possession counts. So she didn't see a lot of action. When we were getting flogged by the US, and therefore it was like time to turn the attention to the bronze medal game, she got a lot more minutes, and boy, did she play well. She had 11 points and she showed, I belong. And so that big basket she hit at the end of the first quarter of the bronze medal playoff.
That was great.
And then another basket following that. So, yes, I think she's going to take the step quite comfortably. But I think she's sort of got a little bit of an international slap in the face, for want of a better term, of, hey, you know, you've got to be right on the money all the time.
What initially. A perfect way of doing it in this environment. Now, I'm just going to throw two more questions at you and then we can move on. The first one, I'm going to say Sandy Brondello, right? Now, for me, I remember Sandy as a player and everything, and she was a tough nut and can shoot the ball. Every time I felt that she's coached this team, it was always the pressure of, I don't know if it's the right choice. Now, I don't know her well enough as a coach. I don't see her in the WNBA enough. I know that she's there. But it always felt like, is it the right decision? Is she picking the right team? Is she doing this? Which every coach gets, right? And I just felt in this situation now, she is a bronze medal winning coach for the Opals. Where does this stand her with this team?
Overall, I think the greatest coach the Opals ever had was Tom Maher, and I thought it was a massive mistake not to continue with him after the Sydney Olympics, because he then went and got other countries to
other countries,
and we lost that extraordinary resource. After that, it probably goes to Jan Sterling, because she got the 2006 gold medal at the World Cup with arguably the greatest team we've probably put on the floor, because we had Lauren in her prime and Penny Taylor in her prime.
Yep.
So all due respect to Jan, They didn't play. They didn't meet the US. I don't think she ever beat the US in her time as coach. So I don't rate her as highly as many others do. And now you've got Sandy, who's got a silver medal at a World Cup, a bronze medal at a subsequent World Cup, and a bronze medal in the Olympics, with one Olympic disaster in between there with Tokyo, which was largely there was a particular player, we don't need to mention her anymore, caused, you know, really did so sabotage that program. So I think she's up there. She's up there.
So do you feel, am I wrong in the way I feel that it just always feels like Sandy's got the spotlight on her? Am I wrong feeling that?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of love for Sandy because we respect her as the player that she was and what she achieved. But there's more criticism of her coaching than probably any of the other previous coaches.
Yeah, that's the point.
Maybe Brendan Joyce at the way he finished it at the Rio Olympics. But, I see that because you see someone like a Lauren Jackson, and I don't want to labour this point, but, you know, at 43, you think, oh, well, why take her if you're not going to play her? And with all due respect to Kayla George and to Mariana Toller, who got minutes that I thought belonged to Lauren, neither of them have ever had a 40-point game in the WNBL. Lauren just had one, a couple of months ago in the WNBL semifinals.
Yeah.
Neither of them have ever had 50-point games at the next level down, which Lauren has been doing coming in. So Lauren was the form player. So you look at that and you go, why didn't you play her? So Sandy sort of lends herself to criticism because there are obvious things that we on the outside who never lose a game from our lounge chairs can see.
Hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're looking at her record for four international events, there's only one flub and there's three medals.
And there's a lot of surroundings for that one, it didn't happen. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, my next question, and I'll finish on this, and this is a bit of an assumption. No Sammy Whitcomb, no LJ, no Tolo, no Kayla George, potentially no Tess Madgen.
Yep.
I'm not sure about Steph Talbot, but I'll leave her there at the moment.
No, Steph will be in.
I'm saying those players won't be playing anymore, right? I'm a bit of an assumption there on a few. How is the Opals looking moving forward, in your opinion?
Well, come on. Alana Smith, star five. Esme Magbegor, a superstar at this level now.
Yes.
Jade Melbourne, rising.
Yes.
Yeah, then you look again, look further down the bench, and we've got Izzy Borlase going to be a star at this level. She's going to be a star. We've got Georgia Amore. We got Darcy Garbins. There's a bunch of kids that are going to make sure that the Opals stay exactly where they are now or in that vicinity and the podium finishes. I have no real qualms about the Opals other than the next coach. That will be an interesting one because I think down the track, we all want to see Christy Harrowell there, but she's not ready yet. So who do you have as an interim? That worries me. I thought Shannon Seabum, I've got a lot of regard for him as a WNBL coach, but when he coached at the Asia Cup, I thought he was a disaster. They went into a couple of his timeouts, particularly the Japanese game, and I think he was floundering. I'm not a big fan of Paul Gorris, so and Cheryl Chambers is retired. So of that coaching crew, I don't see an immediate successor.
So if you're BA, then are you saying to Sandy, we need you now and stay, please, for another 4 years?
No, I'm letting Sandy go. I think she that era, her era is done with those players that you mentioned that she loved. I mean, she basically loved Tess and Kayla, gave them a lot of time over, they were her girls sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, say, maybe one cycle when you have, say, someone like a Chris Lucas as the head coach and Christy as the assistant and a Renee Garlop. These are the people that we're sort of looking to carry it on beyond, or say a Rob Beveridge. We do something out of left field. You get Rob Beveridge with Christy again and Renee, because they're not ready yet, but they will be. That's the way I'd be going, but that's just me.
Okay, good one. Okay, look, all in all, fantastic. Opals come out with a bronze medal. We all sat here after Nigeria. Comes out fantastic. And, we sat here after Nigeria going, what a train wreck. Where are we heading? So got to give them credit. They bounced back and well done. Congratulations to the Opals. 2028, LA, and then the big one, Brisbane in 32. And the Brad and Body podcast will be performing live at the Brisbane Olympics. We will be in the venue. That venue is probably Body or my lounge room, but it's a great venue that it is.
No, I'm definitely going to Brisbane. If I'm still alive, I'll be there.
You're not going anywhere. Look, we touched on the Boomers last time. I still want to just give a little, you know, bit of rap. We spoke about every player. We've done all of that. The coach is really the next thing that's absolute key, four-year cycle. If you're wanting to coach that, would you be, I'll take it from 2028 because I want to be in Brisbane, or are you taking that thing now?
I'm taking it now because most of the time we've given coaches two cycles.
Yes,
most,
we have.
By cycle,
yes.
I mean a World Cup and Olympics, a World Cup and Olympics,
like yes.
an eight-year investment. So, therefore, if you're the next coach could potentially, not in the women, I think in the women it's a different situation, but with the Boomers, I think the next coach could do the next two quite comfortably. So that gives them Brisbane. Now, I'm all for Scott Roth, you know that.
Yes.
And I would have Scott Roth, but I would also have look at a Joey Wright, Rob Beveridge, a Trevor Gleeson. I love Matt Nielsen. I really do. I think he's going to be a great coach. But I don't think you can go, I think we said this before last time, from an assistant to a head coach if you're not head coaching in some other environment, and he's not.
Mm. Yep, it's going to be a very, very interesting one, what goes forward. So that's a wrap of the Opals and the Boomers. Before I let you go, Boddy, I don't think we can not talk about the NBL. We obviously, some preseason games are coming up. I know there's a couple coming up in Sydney. I've been asked to commentate one against New Zealand, so I'm quite looking forward to that. The big news this week is obviously that the Adelaide 36ers have let go coach Scott Ninnis.
They sacked him. Let's not be silly about it.
Yeah. Yep. So you've written some great articles on BOTINAGY.com. I've been reading all your articles. Obviously, people can go there and have a read. What's the feel in Adelaide, mate?
I think the fact that Scott Ninnis was signed 6 months ago on a two-year deal, and then Matt Weston comes in as the basketball operations manager after that. I think Matt Weston pretty much, you can tell, was not happy with that appointment, was not happy with inheriting that appointment. And I think they have not got along from day one. When you're not allowed to have your own assistant coach, but, you know, the basketball operations manager wants to bring in someone like a Brendan Joyce initially, which fell through, and then now Mike Wells, who's an American assistant coach. He's another guy who hasn't actually, I know that resume looks wonderful, but he hasn't actually been a head coach, and you're putting him into a situation in Adelaide where he doesn't know the NBL, he doesn't know his team, and he doesn't know Adelaide. I think you're asking a lot of Mike Wells, but there you go. I think the backlash is happening. Brett Maher, who is a club icon, 325 games, most games, number retired, court named after him. He has severed ties with the club, and I think that in itself sums up the way South Australian fans are feeling.
So what was his role with the club?
He was doing their holiday camps, basketball clinics, and being a game night ambassador for the Sixers.
Wow. You know. So he's walked completely away.
Yes. Yes, he has.
Mm. Look, so I know he and Scotty are very close. That's been well documented. Yep. He and Scotty are very close, so that's stepping up for his mate, obviously. Look, it's a tough take. It will be a lot of pressure on Adelaide. I mean, I saw a thing on the NBL website where DJ's come out and said it's been a kick in the nuts. So obviously they didn't know what was going on, the players. Mm. Look, as someone that in 1997 or 8, I think it was, we had Alan Black as our coach, and I remember showing up to training one morning, and Mike Robleski and Bill Tomlinson walked in, and they said, "Alan's left, here's your coach." And I remember just looking around, and Bruce Bolden, good mate of mine, and we were there, and I just looked at him looking for, you know, some lead. I'm the young guy, mate. What's going on here? And all you can do is you're professional and you just got to get on with it, right, as a player. But very difficult. We didn't have a great season. It was not easy. And, you know, I look back now and I just think, geez, that was a lot of pressure on Billy, who ended up, you know, being our coach for a while, and I was captain under him. So that was my coach when I was the captain of the team. And then I went on to be an assistant coach with him. So I have a good relationship with Billy. But I look back at that and think, man, that's a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure on that Mike Wells.
Billy did win a championship with Sydney.
Yes, with the Flames.
WNBL.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No,
he broke Adelaide's run of five.
Actually, that is untrue. He's won three championships with the men as an assistant coach. So so that's good. Good take on that, Boddy. Thank you so much. Look, we're trying just to all our listeners, not the kids, because apparently they're not listening anyway. Shout out to Chuck Harmison. We know he's listening, our boy Chucky. We're going to try and get some extra people and do some where are we now? So we think that's the nice. We're excited. We're looking forward to the season coming up. I know it's about the 19th or 20th, somewhere around there, the season starts where everyone goes to Perth. I'm excited for that, Boddy. That's going to be the men's, the women's, and then there's some junior programs, I believe, going to be playing. So fantastic effort. Obviously, as part of the commentary team, I'm starting to get things roll through now. The excitement's really building up and I can't wait. And I'm going to leave you on this, Boddy. Who's going to win the championship and who's the MVP for the season? Tell me now. We're going to have a wrap before the NBL, but I'm throwing that at you now. And just for our listeners, didn't even tell him I was going to do this. Come on, mate. Who is it?
It's going to be Melbourne United.
Yep.
And the MVP will be a guard that plays out in Perth. Can't think of his name.
Damian Martin.
Maybe Bryce Cotton, eh? I'll just go safety first. Bryce Cotton, because he knows he'll be top three at the very worst.
Absolutely. Boddy, thanks, mate. And no congratulations to the Opals again, an outstanding champions that they are, and so great that they got bronze. To everyone, we'll be back soon. Thank you for what we've loved, the Olympics. It's been fantastic, and we'll see you next time. Mate, I can feel the passion coming in your voice with Adelaide. You do love the club.
I do, but I follow the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers. Sorry, that's the team. I mean, let's face it, they are Adelaide Light.